Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Continuing this Dashamul, Shloka 1, along with the commentary. Okay. Svatah siddho vedo haridaita veda prabhratitaha pramanam satpraptam pramiti vishayan tan navavidhan tatha pratyakshadi pramiti sahitam sadhayati na nayuktis tarkakhya pravishati tatha shakti rahita. The Veda is svatah siddha, self-evident, and it has been handed down through an oral transmission beginning with the Lord Brahma, who was personally blessed by Lord Hari. And the Veda, along with the pratyaksha, sense perception, anumana, logical inference, which are in line with the Veda, and the Veda which is clarified by the body of itihasas and puranas, they teach us 9 subject matters. But in this regard, mere logic, which does not take shelter of the Vedas, is rejected, because mere logic does not have the potency to teach us about transcendence. Actually, they don't have the potency to teach us about anything super sensuous, anything which is beyond our sense perception. There are several things which are material, which are beyond our sense perception, and the Vedas cannot, sense perception and logic, which do not follow Vedic authority, cannot help us understand them. Okay, so I'm towards the end of the commentary. I'll just complete this, and then we will look at some statements by Radha Damodar Goswami, the spiritual master of Baladev Vidyabhushan, and then we'll look into some extracts from Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, along with his explanation called Sarva Samvadini. Okay. Achintya khaluye bhava natam starkena yojayet prakritibhya param yachatad achintyasya lakshanam. All entities and events which are inconceivable, they cannot be measured through tarka, through logical inference. And achintya, or inconceivable, is that which is beyond matter. Svalpapi ruchareva Maharaj. Hey, that's a small garland. Okay, put that also. This one? Svalpapi ruchireva syad bhakti tattvava bodhika yuktistu kevala naiva yadasya apratishthita. This is Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. And this is what he has to say about transcendental devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That yukti or logic by itself does not have any foundation of its own, which means that logic cuts in every way, as one Indian philosopher, actually he's a follower of Madhva, but he was in an academic university, and he wrote supporting Madhva, some books, and I'll read an extract from it in one of the other classes. He very finely presents Madhvacharya's presentation of the position of the Vedas. So he says that inference cuts in both ways. You can use logic to practically argue anything you want. So that is the same point that Srila Rupa Goswami is saying, which of course is a point that Vyasadeva himself makes in Vedanta Sutra. That mere logic means logic which does not follow the scripture. So mere logic is not useful in helping us understand transcendental devotional service to the Supreme Lord. However, even a little bit of direct transcendental experience can help us understand bhakti. Of course, this transcendental experience has to come on the basis of devotional service which you execute within scriptural boundaries. That is also stated by Rupa Goswami. Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. So that which is not in line with Shruti Smriti etc., that sort of bhakti is rejected. That is apramanika, as Vishwanath Chakravarti explains. That is unauthoritative, it is bogus. So Rupa Goswami is not talking about that. He is talking about deriving a taste for transcendental devotional service through proper engagement in devotional service as taught in scriptures. That will help us directly perceive a devotional service. Yatnena apaditopi arthah kushalai ranumatrubhi abhiyukta tarai ranyai ranyasaivo papadyate iti adi shastra vachanat. This is a statement from the Mimamsa school. If I'm correct, it's from Mimamsa. That an expert person, an expert philosopher or an expert logician, he may have the potency to establish a certain point. And he may establish that point and he may win over others in a debate. Then another person may come who is stronger than him in logical debate. And that person may come point out that these conclusions are wrong. Then somebody else may come and he is also strong in logic. And he can come and he can refute both of them. So this process goes on. So Rupa Goswami quotes this statement and he says that this is endless. You simply go on like that. You cannot simply listen to someone who is very skilled in logic. You have to go by scripture. Scripture with logic is okay. Mere logic is not okay. Because logic can just ad infinitum, it can take you from one conclusion to another. Mere logic without accepting scriptural authority. So, we take shelter of the Vedas because of this. Now I'll turn to Vedanta Syamantaka, which is a small book. It was a booklet written by Radha Damodar Goswami. Radha Damodar was a Vipra, he was a Brahmana. He presented the teachings of Jiva Goswami's Shat Sandarbha to Baladev Vidyabhushana. Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushana, he, according to an account by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had studied Madhvacharya's philosophy in Mysore and he had been to Jagannath Puri, and at that time he met this great Brahman who was a follower of Shyamananda Prabhu, Radha Damodar Prabhu. Radha Damodar spoke to him. No, it's Radha Damodar. It's good. What? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati also says. It's Acharya Veda based on the Kanti. So he taught him Jiva Goswami's Shat Sandarbha, and then Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan was convinced of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Then Radha Damodar sent him to Srila Radha Damodar sent him to Vrindavan to study Srimad Bhagavatam under Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. Then he stayed there and he served. He took Paramahamsa Vesh from Pitambar Goswami. This is mentioned by Baladev Vidyabhushan himself. So Vedanta Samantaka is a small little book, contains six chapters. The first chapter deals with what is a source of valid knowledge, pramana. And the next five chapters, each of them deal with each of the five topics that the Vedic literatures discuss: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. These are the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita also. From Prabhupada's introduction to Bhagavad Gita, we understand that the Bhagavad Gita comprehends five subject matters. These are the five subject matters actually of the entire Vedic literature. Actually, there in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita commentary, Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu has written that, and Prabhupada has expanded on it. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan himself is summarizing the topics as they appear in Vedanta Samantaka. So there are a few points which I'll bring out here. Of course, strictly speaking, I don't have to bring this out, because these points, everything is ultimately coming from Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas. But still his explanations are quite interesting. Okay, I have highlighted some statements. I'll only speak on them. Pratyaksham chanumanam cha shastram cha vividagamam trayam su viditam karyam dharma shuddhim abhipsata. This is a statement by Manu in Manusmriti, where he says that he accepts pratyaksha, anumana and shastra. On the basis of these three, we can clearly understand what is dharma. So a person who desires to understand clarification on the subject matter of dharma, he will know what can be acceptable behavior from these three authorities. The reason why he is quoting this is to point out that we accept all three. We accept sense perception, we accept logic, and we accept scripture. Tatra pratyaksham sthulameva sannikrishnam grihnati nati duram na cha atisamipam yatha kham utpatantam pakshinam yatha cha netrasya anjanam. Then he begins to explain the limitations of sense perception. Sense perception only helps us grasp information of that which is gross, not subtle, and that which is within the range of the senses. Something which is very far away, like a bird which is flying in the sky very far away, you cannot perceive that. Nor can you see something which is very close, like for instance eye ointment that a person puts on. The eye cannot see that. Manasya annavastite sthulam api tatra na grihnati. And if one's mind is not focused, then even though he's seeing, he doesn't actually grasp that information. Yaduktam me mano anyatra gatam maya na drishtam ityadi. Just as people say, oh, my mind went somewhere else, so I didn't see. Like, I didn't see the person with, you know, whom I saw. My eyes might have seen, but my mind was elsewhere, I didn't see. Ityadi, etc. Abhibhutam, anudbhutam cha sampraktam atisukshmam tamna grihnati. So when one's mind is overwhelmed and it is focused on other things and things which are very subtle, the senses don't perceive that. Yatha ravi kirana abhibhutam graha nakshatra mandalam. Just as due to the rays of the sun, one does not perceive the stars, the heavenly bodies. Yatha kshire dadhibhavam, just as in yogurt, in milk, there is the potency for it becoming yogurt. But you cannot just understand it by perception. Yatha cha jalashaye jalada vimuktam jalabindun, just as in a body of water, you don't see droplets of water. Even though droplets of water make up the water, you don't see it. Yatha pratyaksham sannikrishnam api paramanun. And just as you don't see atoms, even though it's very close to your eyes, you don't see it. So therefore, sense perception is not very reliable. Kvachit vyabhicharati chaitat. And on top of it, sometimes it is faulty. Sometimes it is faulty. Maya murtha valoke yagya tatasya. Maya murtha valoke yagya tatasya eva. Ayam murdha ityadav. Just as a magician may come and he may create an illusion of a false head. Now that is simply a projection. Previously magicians could do these kind of things. They could just project something on in front of an audience. But that is false. So he points out that sense perception cannot be very seriously taken up as an infallible source of valid knowledge. Kvachid vyabhicharati drishtam vrishtya tatkale nirvapita vahnau chiram adhika utpadvara dhume parvate vahnimaan dhuma dityado. Just as fire might have been burning on the other side of a mountain, and there might have been rain, and that fire is extinguished, still the smoke comes. You see the smoke from far distance and you think it is still burning, but it's not burning now, it was burning before. So you cannot use the logic that wherever there is fire there is smoke, so where there is I see smoke there must be fire. So he points out that even in logic sometimes it is adulterated, vyabhichari. Sometimes it's unreliable. You cannot accept it. Tadevam mukhyayor anayor vyabhicharitva tad anyesham tu tad upajivinam susiddham tat. So because sense perception and logic are faulty, therefore any combinations of these two, they are also naturally faulty. Aptavakya lakshana shabdastu kutrapina vyabhicharati. However, when you take shelter of shabda or the testimony of a reliable person, then that is not faulty. And we will see, then I'm switching over to Jiva Goswami, where he makes many important points on sense perception, logic, and even more he makes statements about the Vedas.
Who's showing this file? Are you sure?
Do you have Tattva Sandarbha? Yeah. Open it. Page 17. No. Even before. Yeah, 15. Okay, here is Jiva Goswami. We'll go through this section along with his annotation.
Tatra purushasya bhramadi dosha chatushtaya dushtatva sutram alaukika achintya swabhava vastu sparsha ayogyatva cha tat pratyaksha adinyapi sadoshani.
We already saw this in the commentary to Dashamul, that a human being has four defects. And because of that, and moreover, because sense perception, etc., is not qualified to touch the supernatural, inconceivable entity. Therefore, sense perception, etc., is not taken seriously. Then he writes in his Sarva Samvadini. Sarva Samvadini is his own additional notes. He presented it like an appendix to the first four sandarbhas. These contain intricate arguments, and it is considered a little bit more complex than the remaining portions which he included in the sandarbhas. So he gives additional notes. Sometimes he just clarifies, but sometimes he gives additional notes.
Tathapi brahma pramada vipralipsa karanapatava dosha rahita vachanatmaka shabda eva moolam pramanam.
So that sound
or shabda, that testimony, that which is free from four defects. The four defects are brahma, mistakes, pramada, which you can translate as illusion, vipralipsa, a cheating propensity or cheating, karana apatava, sensory inefficiency. These are defects. So testimony which is free from all this is accepted as the foundational evidence. Anyesham prayaha purusha bhramadi dosham mayataya anyatha pratiti darshanena pramanam vata abhasam veti purushet nirnetum ashakyatvat. When you take shelter of sense perception, you don't know whether that person's sense perception at that moment is valid or invalid. The person may be perceiving something correctly, he may not be. His logic may be okay, may not be. So it is very difficult for people to understand when something should be given full attention, when it should not be. He may be cheating. You know, so many reasons. So you cannot just close your eyes and depend on them. Tasya tu tat abhavat. However, when you accept spotless testimony, you don't have that problem. Ataha ragya vrittyanam iva tenaiva anyesham baddhamulatvat. Tasya tu nairapekshya. Just as a king is not dependent on his assistants, on his servants, similarly, scriptural evidence is not dependent on sense perception, etc. It can function without it. Yathashakti kvachideva tasyattai sachivya karanat. Where required, as much as capable, sense perception and logic can be employed. You can use logic. Jiva Goswami will explain how and where logic can be used. They function as assistants. Swadhinasya tasya tu tani upamardhyapi pravritti darshanat. However, direct Vedic authority, scriptural evidence, is independent of sense perception and logic. And sometimes it can overturn sense perception and logic if there is a direct opposition. Tena pratipadite vastuni tair virodham ashakyatvat. Whereas it is the opposite with the sense perception and logic. Logic and sense perception cannot actually overturn scriptural authority. Now, when it comes to sense perception, he says, tadeva cha punah vaidusham avaidusham cheti dvividham. There are different types of sense perceptions. And I will only speak about a certain type of classification that Jiva Goswami gives here. That there is Vaidusha Pratyaksha and Avaidusha Pratyaksha. Vaidusha means enlightened. Avaidusha is not enlightened. Tatra Vaidushecha Vipratipatti Bhramadin Nirdosha Rahityad Shabdasyapi Tanmulatvacha. Vaidusha Pratyaksha means perception which is free from human defects. Just as the Supreme Lord's perception, sense perception, that is proper. The sense perception of a liberated soul, that is direct, proper. It does not have these defects. So that sense perception, that is okay. That is okay. That is spotless sense perception. So that is okay. That is Vaidusha Pratyaksha. That is not ordinary Pratyaksha. Shabdasyapi tanmolatvacha, and even shabda pramana is the same as the perception of liberated soul. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes elsewhere in a book called Tattva Sutra, he says, Jnana Suryasya Rashmaya Hi Shastrani. Says the scriptures are actually, if you compare the perception of a liberated soul, one who is with Krishna, a liberated soul, his perception, if you compare it to a sun, then the rays of that sun are the scriptures. In other words, the idea is that the perception of a liberated soul is the same as that which is spotless shabda pramana. Jiva Goswami states that here. Shabdasyapi tanmulatvacha. Scripture is also ultimately that. It is founded on that. Avaidushe evam shamshayaha. However, when it is Vaidusha Pratyaksha, when it is unenlightened sense perception, then there are doubts. You don't know when you see something, whether it is a fact or not. Tadiyam jnanam hi vyabhicharati. The knowledge that comes through fallible sense perception, that could be adulterated. It's fallible. Yatha maya munda avalokane devadatta seva mundam idam vilokyate ityado. Just as when a false head is being shown by a magician, you may think it's actually the head of a certain person. Natu shabdaha. However, that doesn't happen to statements of the Vedas or statements of a reliable person. Okay, I'll skip this. Then you can go to the next page. Pashvadibhyascha avisheshanna pratyakshadikam jnanam paramartha prapakam. Then he says that just sense perception and so on, this is there even amongst the animals. And practically there is no distinction between the animals and what they perceive, etc. And what human beings perceive. Their knowledge is not going to lead them towards understanding of transcendence. Drishyete cha amisham ishtanishtiyor darshana ghranadina pravritti nivritti. As we see that even amongst animals, they endeavor to obtain that which is desirable, and they endeavor to refrain from that which is undesirable through sight, through smelling and so on. They engage in these activities which human beings also do. Nacha tesham kachit paramartha siddhi. But however, there's no hope of any understanding of a transcendence, paramartha siddhi. There's no question of them becoming spiritually perfect or any proper understanding of transcendence. Drishyate cha atibalana matara prityadi apta shabdadeva sarvajnana pravritti. And we see amongst children who are very small, they are fully dependent on their mother, father and others. The statements made by them, all of their activities and their knowledge is derived from their mother, father and so on. Tamvina cha ekaki taya rakshitanam jadamukata. And if they don't have anyone to take care of them and explain to them, then they are practically, they are inert. They are like dumb. Nacha vyavahara siddhirriti. There's no practical activity. You cannot even perform proper activities if you don't accept the testimony of a reliable authority. So Jiva Goswami's point is, you cannot escape acceptance of a reliable authority. You cannot get out of it. There's no way you can get out of it. Every one of us is, under various circumstances, we are forced to accept reliable authority. Then Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan has commented. Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he explains, Purushasya Vyavaharikasya Vyutpannasya Api Bhramadi Dosha Grastatva Dadrik Paramarthaika Vastu Sparshana Arhatvacha Sparsha Anarhatvacha Tat Pratyakshadini Cha Sadoshani Iti Yojyam. Jiva Goswami's statement in Tattva Sandarbha means that a human being, for all practical purposes, his sense perception, etc., they because they are under the clutches of the defects such as mistakes, they are incapable of understanding because of their defective nature, they are incapable of touching paramartha vastu, spiritual entities. Therefore, they are understood to be defective. And then he explains each one of the four defects. Brahmaha, Brahmadaha, Vipralipsa, Karanapatavam, Cheti, Jive, Chatvaro, Doshaha. Living entities have four defects. Living entities of this world have four defects. One is called Brahma. Then you have Pramada. Then you have Vipralipsa. Then you have Karana Apatava. Teshu Atasmims Tadbuddhir Brahmaha. Brahma or mistake refers to misunderstanding something for what it is not. Yena Sthano Purusha Buddhi. Just as when you may look at a pillar and think that is actually a man standing. Anavadhanatta Anyachittata Lakshanaha Pramadaha. Lack of attention or having one's mind distracted even while you are perceiving something, that is called pramada. Pramada, you can take it as delusion. Yena antike giyamanam ganam na grihyate. Just as when you are absorbed in something and you hear some song, but you don't grasp that song. You're thinking of something else. So your mind is elsewhere. Inattention. Vanchanecha vipralipsa. The desire to cheat someone, that is called vipralipsa. Yaya shishye sva gyataha api arthaha na prakashyate. Just as one may not teach something which he knows to his student, he doesn't reveal it. Indriya mandyam karanapatavam. The dullness of the senses refers to karanapatavam, sensory inefficiency. Yena dattamanasa api yathavad vastuna parichiyate. So even if one's mind is focused, because the senses are imperfect, therefore one is not able to properly understand the object which he is perceiving. Ete pramatra jiva doshaha. These are defects in the perceiver. Pramaneshu sancharanti. And they naturally become part of the defects of the very means of knowledge acquisition. Teshu brahmadi trayam pratyakshe tanmulake anumanecha. The first three defects, they are there in sense perception and naturally in anumana, which is a logical inference, which is based on sense perception. Vipralipsa tu shabde iti bodhyam. However, vipralipsa, cheating propensity, is a defect in acceptance of authority. Then,
next page.
Then in the main text, Jiva Goswami says this: Tatastani na pramanani iti anadi siddha sarva purusha paramparasu sarva laukika laukika jnana nidanatvad aprakrita vachana lakshana veda eva asmakam sarvatita sarvashraya sarvachintya ascharya svabhavam vastu vividishitam pramanam. Therefore, because these are not evidences for us who are desirous of understanding that entity or being, that vastu, which is beyond everything, which is the shelter of everything, and which is inconceivable, most wonderful. For us, Veda is the sole evidence. And he characterizes that Veda as that which has descended through a parampara of Siddha Purushas, of liberated souls from time immemorial, has come down. And it is the abode of knowledge of both matter and spirit. He'll explain it also. I'll come to you. Yeah, the Veda as that which constitutes the means for understanding the absolute truth is Veda,
which is received through a parampara, which has been coming from time immemorial, which has been well-established line coming from time immemorial. And it is the abode of knowledge, which is both material and which is both laukika and alaukika, which is both within human perception, which is beyond human perception. This is very important, actually. Some of our devotees are in some illusion, thinking that I'll accept the scriptural statements when it is in line with Western science. And when it is not in line with Western science, then Hare Krishna. We don't know why Prabhupada spoke all these things, but we should not take it seriously. Because through scientific progress, we have understood that these have to be edited. But this is all nonsense. The Veda is the reservoir of authentic information about that which is within human sense perception and which is beyond human sense perception too. So, Sarva Sambhajani, Jiva Goswami, Yo Shabdaha Nija Nija Vidvatta Yai Sarvair Eva Abhyasyate Yasya Adhigamena Sarvesham Api Sarva Eva Vidvatta Bhavati. By accepting that knowledge, everyone becomes enlightened. Yat Krita Yaiva Parma Vidvattaya Pratyakshadikam Api Shuddham Syat. And by accepting its validity, by accepting knowledge coming from that, even sense perception and others becomes these sources of knowledge, they become pure. In other words, you understand what is proper and what is improper by consulting the Vedas. Yascha anaditva swayameva siddha. It is from time immemorial, it is by itself perfect. Sa eva nikhila aitihya mola rupaha mahavakya samudayaha shabdaha atra grihyate. And this has been coming down from unbroken tradition, and it is a collection of great statements. This is the type of shabda that we are accepting. Sa cha shastrameva. This is scripture. Tat cha veda eva. This is the Veda. Ya eva anadi siddhaha sarvakaranasya bhagavataha anadi siddham punah punah srishtyado tasmadeva virbhutam apurusheyam vakyam. And this Veda has been established since time immemorial, and it is repeatedly manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of everything. And he repeatedly manifests it again and again at the beginning of creation. This is apaurusheya vakya. This is a collection of non-human statements. Literally speaking, uncomposed statements. Taddeva brahmadirahitam sambhavitam. Therefore, it is respected as that which is free from mistakes, illusions, sensory inefficiency, etc. Tatcha sarva janakasya tasya cha sadosha deshaya avashyakam mantavyam. And because it is coming from the supreme source of everyone, therefore one must accept its authority. Taddeva cha avyabhichare pramanam. This is the unadulterated source of all knowledge. Tatcha tat kripaya kopi kopi grihnati. By his mercy, some persons are able to grasp it. They're able to understand it. Now, this is a very, very important point. Several years back, Gopi Pranandru was explaining this. I was trying to understand, how does one get to understand Vedic authority? How does one come to that point? Anyone, any person, how does he come to the point of understanding the Vedas? Okay, I should listen to the Veda. How does that happen? What is the mechanism? Does he start with sense perception? Then he understands it is fallible. Then he adds on logic. then he understands that's fallible, then he accepts Vedic authority, and then he is able to understand, is it like that? And Gopi Pranjan Prabhu said, no, it is not at all like that. Shabda Pramana is actually a manifestation of this, in the sense of the Veda. Veda is the highest Shabda Pramana. That is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord. No living being by his effort will be able to grasp it. It is simply the Lord's mercy that is descending on people through the disciplic line by which they are distributing it. So he said, therefore, our book distributors are doing a very, very important service. They are going to people who are conditioned souls and they are giving them, here is Bhagavad Gita as it is understood through the disciplic succession of liberated souls. Here is Srimad Bhagavatam. And when they accept it, suppose they accept it, okay, let me read it. Then they have surrendered to the authority of the liberated acharyas. They have surrendered to the Vedas. So when that happens, then Krishna gives his mercy and that's how you get it. It does not happen by one's own endeavor. Sometimes our devotees are under the mistaken impression that we will do scientific research to prove the Vedas. This is simply delusion. Dhrutakarma Prabhu once was explaining, there is no way something which is non-Vedic can prove the Vedas. He said that at Bhaktivedanta Institute, we are not trying to prove the Vedas. That's not our business. You cannot do it also. Vedas, God himself. How can you prove that? You cannot prove that. God has to prove himself. So he said, that is wrong. What we are trying to do is, he explained, for people who are prejudiced against the Vedas, who are averse to accepting Vedic authority, that means they are averse to Krishna. So in order to remove their prejudice, then we use various tactics to bring their attention to the Vedas. Prabhupada also referred to this. In one letter, Satsurup Maharaj asked Prabhupada, do we accept a combination of logic and scripture to understand things? Is that what we are doing? Do we accept both science and this? That was the point Satsurup Maharaj was making. And Prabhupada wrote back saying, no, we don't accept a combination of logic and scripture. We accept scripture, that's all. We just accept scripture. However, for people who are not coming to that point, we can attract them through a process which is called Shaka Chandra Nyaya. Suppose you have a tree and there's a trunk of the tree, then there are branches above. And in between the branches, you can see the moon. So suppose you want to draw the attention of a person to the moon. You say, okay, here is a tree. It's very close by. You can see it. You can touch it. And just above, there are branches, two branches, you can see that also, it's very close by. And you see there's a moon there. Now actually the moon is thousands of miles away. It has nothing to do with this tree. It has nothing to do with this tree. You're simply using a tactic to draw the attention. Similarly, like Maharaj was saying, often our preachers, they will say something about reincarnation, science, this, that, and for more information, here is Bhagavad Gita as it is. There's no connection. There's no logical connection actually. There's no logical connection. But it is simply to remove their prejudice against Bhagavad Gita as it is that we use this. This is something we should understand. It is not that we are dependent on logic and sense perception when they are indifferent to Vedic authority. That is not going to help us in any manner. This is by itself understood. Vedic authority is understood. The validity of Vedic teachings are understood by the mercy of the Lord. Tatcha tat kripaya kopi kopi grihnati. By His mercy, some persons are able to understand. Kutarka karkasha mudha va tan na grihnatunama. Tesham aprama padam katham apayatu. People who are addicted to false logic or foolish people, they may not accept Vedic authority. How can their delusion be removed? Then he says,
Then he says, Nacha buddhasya api ishvaratve sati tad vakyam cha pramanam syat iti vachyam. One should not say that Lord Buddha, who is an incarnation of God, whatever he says is automatically evidence.
Yena shastrena tasya ishvaratvam manyamahe tenaiva tasya daitya mohana shastra karitvena uktatvat.
Actually, we accept that Buddha is the Supreme Lord on the basis of Shastra. And that same Shastra says that Lord Buddha, he spoke various things to delude the daityas, the demoniac people. Therefore, his statements are not valid. This is also important. It is not that whatever Krishna speaks, or like Shiva comes to Shankaracharya and speaks nonsense. We don't, just because he's Lord Shiva, we don't accept it. Just because it's Vishnu speaking, we don't accept it. You have to carefully see whether it is in line with the Veda. Like for instance, when in Krishna Leela also, in the pastime of Govardhana Uddhar, lifting of the Govardhan hill, Krishna spoke Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Karma Mimamsa philosophy is nonsense actually. Basically, it's an atheist. It is atheistic in the modern sense. It does not, in Karma Mimamsa philosophy, you don't accept there is a God. You don't accept God. You say there is no God. In fact, even the demigods, they don't seriously accept also. But Krishna spoke Karma Mimamsa philosophy. But how do the acharyas take it? They don't say, oh, Krishna is speaking, therefore it must be true. They don't take it like that. They say, Krishna is just joking. You should not take it seriously. So even when the Supreme Lord, for whatever reason, speaks against the Veda, you don't accept it. The Veda is the final authority. The Veda is the final authority. This is very, very important. The Veda is the final authority. Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna speaks. Rishubhir Bahudha Gitam. He says the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are in line with the Vedic statements which have been manifested by the Rishis. Rishubhir Bahudha Gitam. And then how does it go? Chandobhi Vividai Pratak. Various types of Vedic statements are there. Brahma Sutra Padeshcheva Hetumadbir Vinishchitai. This is also stated in Brahma Sutra by Vyasadeva. So there is a law, there's a certain scheme of understanding scripture. Therefore, we don't simply just go by whatever is spoken by the Lord in any of his pastimes, in any of his incarnations. We have to very carefully analyze it. The acharyas have done this. And therefore, it is safest to simply listen to the liberated acharyas and not become an Indologist and start thinking. I was telling Chandramouli Maharaj last week in Mayapur, I said, ISKCON's greatest troubles have come from scholars. Scholars of that nature. People who don't accept Prabhupada, don't accept creating headache. And because of them, we have to have these camps. Okay. Even otherwise, it's required, of course. You know, we need to have a solid philosophical understanding. Okay, next, page 18.
Vedasyena prakrita pratyakshadivad avidyavad vishaya matratvena yavad eva avidya tavad eva tad vyavaharaha.
See, sense perception and logic are, factually speaking, effects of our ignorance, avidya, due to which we are conditioned in this bodies and we are given constricted sense perception, we are given a subtle body. We perceive things in a very different manner from what we would perceive in a liberated state. So these are effects of avidya. However, we should not think that the Veda is also accepted as evidence only under these circumstances. He says, even the liberated souls, even they accept the authority of the Vedas. Sati vyamahare pramanyam cheti mantavyam apurusheyatvat nityatvat. Because it is apurusheya and it is eternal. Sarva muktiyeka kala abhavena sarvesham jivan muktanam yavat sadyo videha mukti prapanche avasthane tad adhikarinam satata astitvat. Parameshwara prasadena, Parameshwara vad eva avidyama, avidya atitanam, ಚಿಚ್ಚಕ್ತೇಕ ವಿಭವಾನಾಂ ಆತ್ಮರಾಮಾಣಾಂ ಪಾರ್ಷದಾನಾಂ ಅಪಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾನಂದ ಉಪರಿಚಯ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪರಮಾನಂದೇನ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಪರಾಯಣಾದೇರ್ ದರ್ಶಿಷ್ಯಮಾನತ್ವಾತ್. ಈವನ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಲಿಬರೇಟೆಡ್ ಸೋಲ್ಸ್, ದಿ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಈವನ್ ದೇ ಆಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ದಿ ಅಥಾರಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೇದ. ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ಅವಿದ್ಯಾ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಹವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟಸ್, ದೇ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆರ್ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಗ್ನರೆನ್ಸ್. ಈವನ್ ದೇ ಆಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ದ ವೇದ. ಶ್ರೀಮತ್ ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರಸ್ಯ ಸ್ವವೇದ ಮರ್ಯಾದಾಂ ಅವಲಂಬ್ಯೈವ ಮುಹು ಸೃಷ್ಟಿಯಾದಿ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕತ್ವಾಚ. ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎಂಗೇಜಸ್ ಇನ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ದ ಬೇಸಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಬೌಂಡ್ರೀಸ್. ಇನ್ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್, ದ ವೇದಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಹೌ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್, ಈ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಲೈನ್ ವಿತ್ ದಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಈ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಸಮ್, ಈ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಬಿಗಿನ್ ಅ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಆಪೋಸಿಟ್ ಟು ವಾಟ್ ಹೀ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಸ್ಪೆಲ್ಟ್ ಔಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೇದಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ ವಿಲ್, ಬಟ್ ದ ವೇದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್. ಇಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್. ಜೀವಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಜೀವಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ಸರ್ವಸಂವಾದಿನಿ, ಸರ್ವಸಂವಾದಿನಿ. And then he gives evidences, various evidences he gives. He quotes from Smriti. Yugante antarhitan vedan sa itihasan maharshayah lebhire tapasa purvam anugyata swayambhuva. This is an explanation to explain, if the Veda is eternal, then how can it have dialogues inside it? Dialogues, someone talking to someone. Shvetaketu talks to his father. How can you have dialogues inside a literature which is eternal, especially in the Shruti portion, where even the sequence of syllables is intact? It's always going to be the same. Then how can you have these dialogues? What does it mean? Like it says in the Upanishad, it says there was Shvetaketu, he went to Gurukula, he studied there, he thought he became a great Vedic scholar, he came back, he was puffed up, and then the father chastised him, said, oh, you have become so proud, have you understood that supreme being by knowing whom you know everything, and so on. It comes in the Upanishad. So then, now this is part of Shruti. And in Shruti, each and everything is as it is. It's not even reworded, rephrased at the creation of a new universe and a different Brahmanda. It's always the same. So then Jiva Goswami, he asks, Nanu arvajjana samvadadi darshanat katham tasya anadityadi. What is the meaning of this? How can you have samvadas, how can you have conversations inside Shruti? What is the meaning of that? ಉಚ್ಯತೆ, ಹಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಸ್, ಅತಏವ ಚ ನಿತ್ಯತ್ವಂ ಇತಿ ಅತ್ರ ಸೂತ್ರೇ ಶಾಂಕರ ಶಾರೀರಿಕ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಪ್ರಮಾಣಿತಾಯಾಂ ಶ್ರುತೌ ಶ್ರೂಯತೆ ಯಜ್ಞೇನ ವಾಚ ಪದವೀಯಂ ಆಯನ್ ತಾಂ ಅನ್ವಿಯು ಋಷಿಷು ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟಾಂ ಇತಿ ಅನ್ವಿಂದ್ಯ ಋಷಿಷು ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟಾಂ ಇತಿ ಸ್ಮೃತೌ ಚ. ಹಿ ಕೋಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚುರಲ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಕೋಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇನ್ ಎಸ್ commentary to Vedanta Sutra, a certain sutra, and he explains that these statements are there, and these statements repeatedly indicate repeated occurrences through the rishis. So once Gopi Brahmanan Prabhu was explaining what this means. It's like a drama script, he said. Suppose you have a drama script. The script of the drama is already there. Like Rupa Goswami has given two dramas. Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava. The script is already there. People may repeatedly perform that drama. Repeatedly they perform that drama. So by the Lord's will, these events repeatedly occur. There is repeatedly in every creation, there is a boy called Shvetaketu. He has a father called Uddalaka. Shvetaketu goes to Gurukul. He becomes puffed up. He comes back. And these events happen. The father speaks exactly what he speaks. By the Lord's arrangement, these things happen. So, these are repeatedly happening events. And the Lord ensures that these things happen like this, just so that they are included in Veda. So, nothing goes against what is presented in Shruti. And of course, Smriti, the events may be different. Smriti, the events may be very, very different. Tasmat nityasiddhasya iva veda shabdasya tatra tatra pravesha eva natu tat kartrikata. Similarly, you have statements like, for instance, Katha Upanishad. Katha is the name of a sage. Similarly, you have various names for different Maitreyi Brahmana. What does this mean? What it means is, it refers to personalities who reveal those portions of the Vedas. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, there is a section where Yajnavalkya, he receives some mantras from the sun god, and he recites them. He hears them and he recites them. So those get his name. So similarly, different portions of the Vedas, they get different names with personalities associated, historical persons, but they are simply revealing. They're just revealing. They are not composing them. They are revealing them. Tathaiva niyamah kale swaradi niyamas tatha tasman na anidrisham kvapi vishvametad bhavishyati. This is stated by Madhvacharya. He quotes from Rig Veda. Surya chandramaso dhata yathapurvam akalpayat. That Lord Brahma, he creates the sun and the moon as he did in his previous day and in accordance with the Veda. Actually, this is something which is very interesting. Even before the universe is created, the Lord first of all impregnates Vedic knowledge along with the Veda in its sound sequence. It's a sequence of sounds. He makes Brahma hear it. So he then, this is explained by Ramanujacharya in Vedartha Sangraha. So Lord Brahma, after performing austerities, is blessed by the Supreme Lord. And he hears the Veda, and the Lord makes him, impregnates him with knowledge of Sanskrit, grammar, vocabulary, everything that is required to understand the Veda. So then he hears that horse, ashva, chariots, earth, heaven, janaloka, tapaloka, and the human species, the naga species, and so on. So the Lord also makes him understand what each of these means. So then, based on that, then he creates the universe based on what he has heard from the Veda. So the Veda is the literal foundation of this universe. Based on the Vedas, the universe is created. It is not that the universe is created and then finally there is something called the Veda. The Veda is first of all given to Brahma. Based on Vedic description of how the universe is supposed to look like, Brahma creates it in accordance with what he has understood from Vedas. So, Madhvacharya also says that repeatedly, this universe will be manifested in the same manner as described in Shastra. Tasmat na anidrisham kvapi vishvametad bhavishyati. Never ever will this universe ever be in a manner which is different from what it is, from how it is described in the scriptures. And then he also quotes from Mahabharata. Anadi nidhanam chahur aksharam parameva cha ado vedamayi divya yata sarvah pravrittayah rishinam namadheyani yascha vedeshu srishtayah veda shabdebhya eva ado nirvame sameshwarah. That the Veda is anadi nidhanam, it has no beginning, no end. It is supreme, infallible. And everything has come out from the Vedas, in that sense, that everything is created on the basis of the Vedas. The names of the rishis, all of them have been done, have been provided by the Supreme Lord on the basis of the Vedas. Shabda iti chenna atah prabhavat pratyaksha anumanabhyam iti atra samvadadi rupa prakriyatu shrotri bodha saukarya saukarya karita iti samanjasyameva bhajate. But the Veda also uses conversations inside it in order to help the hearer understand the teachings of the Vedas. We generally tend to understand things when it is presented in the form of question answers, conversations. So the Veda also uses this technique. Tasmat Vedakhyam Shastram Pramanam Tattal Lakshana Hinatva Tad Virudhatvacha Avaidikam Tu Shastram Na Pramanam. Therefore, the Vedic scripture is accepted as final evidence. Whereas, non-Vedic scriptures, because they do not have all the characteristics of the Vedas, and because they are opposed to the Vedas, they are not evidence. This is important because the Veda is not just inspired religious writing, like the Old Testament or New Testament, or it's not just some inspired religious writing. Some holy men wrote something under divine inspiration. The Veda has a certain set of characteristics which don't exist in these other literature. Then
we come, okay, page 20.
I don't know if in page 20 I have highlighted. Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter. Here is another excerpt. This is very interesting. Nanu vedepi gravana plavante mrid abravi apaha abruvan ityadi darshanat anaptatvam eva anaptatvam iva asatya vaktrutvam iva pratiyate. He poses an objection but even in the Veda there are statements like the stones float, mud spoke, the water spoke. These kinds of apparently faulty statements, false statements, they appear to be there. How do you explain this? Uchyate, he explains. Karma visheshangi bhutanam gravanam karma phala dane virya vartanaya stutiriyam. This is part of a section of the Veda where there is a karma, there is a prescribed Vedic yagya, and at that time, in order to, within the Vedic ritualistic process, in order to grant the potency to offer karma phala, the result of a certain Vedic fruitive activity, there is a certain type of prayer which is offered, a prayer or a stuti, glorification which is offered to the stones. So therefore, this is valid, it is not invalid. Sacha Sri Ramakalpita Setu Bandhado Prasiddhatvena Yathava Deveti Nadoshaha. And yes, the stones do float when Sri Rama, when he created that bridge of stones, it does float. So therefore, it is not wrong, but it is right under certain applicable circumstances. Tatha mrid abravit apaha abruvan ityado tattat abhimani devata eva vyapadishyate iti gyeyam. Similarly, when there is a statement that mud spoke or water spoke, it is referring to the presiding deity of that mud or of water. So this is an equational statement. Sometimes, even in the modern world, people use such expressions. Like for instance, you may find in the newspaper a statement, Washington is very angry with Baghdad. What is the meaning of this? Everyone knows what it means. Or Spain wins this year's World Cup. Spain is a country. It's a land. A land cannot win a World Cup. But it's understood in the representative sense. There are certain people who play football, who represent that country, and they won the football cup.
So sometimes the leader of a country, he is identified with that country. So similarly, this expression is very common in Vedic language, where presiding deities are identified with their realm of supervision. Just as the deity Ganga, she presides over the water Ganga, she is identified with that. So that is called Abhimani Devata. They take charge, they are presiding deities over specific aspects of nature. So he says, no, these are with reference to the presiding deities. Tadevam sarvatra eva apta eva vedaha. The Veda is reliable under all circumstances. Kintu sarvagyeshvara vachanatvena asarvagya jivaihi druhatva tat prabhava labdha pratyaksha vishesha vadhreva sarvatra tat anubhave shakyate. However, because the Veda is a statement from the Supreme Lord, who is omniscient, who knows everything, therefore, it is very difficult for jivas who are not omniscient to understand everything that is stated by the omniscient Lord. However, those persons who have specially been given the ability to perceive what has been taught in the Vedas, they are capable of directly experiencing the truth of the Vedas. Natu tarkikaihi, not merely people who take shelter of logical inference. Taduktam purushottama tantre, shastartha yukto anubhavah pramanam tu uttamam matam, anumadhyā na svatantrah pramana padavīm yayuhu, as it is stated in a scripture called Purushottama Tantra. Experience which is in line with the meaning of shastra, that should be understood to be the highest evidence. Mere logic, etc., they are not independently capable of revealing the truth, and therefore they are not considered independent evidences. Yes. Okay, after 10 minutes. Then he quotes from Varaha Purana. Sarvatra shakyate kartum agamam hi vinanuma tasman na sa shaktimati vinagamam udikshitum. Therefore, under all circumstances, merely by taking shelter of agama, agama refers to scripture, Vedic scripture, without taking shelter of logical inference, one can take full shelter of Vedic scripture. However, without taking shelter of scripture, logical inference does not have the potency to reveal the truths. And then he says, yattu agame kvachit tarkena bodhana drishyate. Sometimes, even in scripture, instruction is provided with logic. Tat tatraiva shobhanam. He says, that is the beauty of logic in that place. Logic shines beautifully when it is within scripture. Agama rupatva, because it is come in the form of scripture. Bodhana saukaryartha matra uddishta tarkatva, because it is a logic which is only for the purpose of helping to make the hearer clearly understand the subject matter. Yadicha yat tarkena siddhyati tadeva veda vachanam pramanam iti syad tada tarka eva astam kim vedena iti vaidikam anyapite bahya eveti ayam avipraya sarvatra. If merely statements which are logical have to be called the Vedas, then why do we need to say that we take shelter of logic and Veda? It's understood that Veda is different from logic, mere logic. Ate eva tesham shrigalatvam eva gatir ityuktam bharate. Therefore it is stated in the Mahabharata that one who rejects Vedic authority and simply takes shelter of logic, they are as good as jackals. There is a famous history in the Mahabharata about a person who rejected Vedic authority and in his next life he was born as a jackal. And therefore, Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after he became a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Tarkika Shrigalami, Bhav Bhav Kuri. I was previously one of those logical jackals. Simply I was simply saying Bhav Bhav, which means like how jackals make sounds. But now, you know, in my mouth there is Hari Hari.
I'm simply chanting Hari's names. So that he referring to that, saying that if one rejects Vedic authority and takes shelter of logic, and which in the modern world means Western science, that's what it comes down to. Logic in the modern world means Western science.
Yattu shrotavyo mantavyo ityadishu mananam nama tarko angikritaha.
However, we see the Vedas also say that one must deliberate, one must use logic. For instance, in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad statement, Atma va are maitreyi shrotavyo mantavya nididhyasatavya. That one should meditate upon, one should hear about the Supreme Soul, one should contemplate, deliberate about Him, using one's intelligence. One should meditate about Him, and ultimately one should see Him directly. So there are statements even in the Veda. This is coming inside an Upanishad, which is part of Shruti. So logic is accepted.
Tatraiva muktam yatha kurma purane.
This has been clarified in Kurma Purana. What is the meaning of logic here? What is the meaning of one should contemplate, one should use logic?
Purvapara avirodhena konvartho bhimato bhavet ityadyuhanam tarkas shushkat tarkam cha varjayet.
Logic should be used in this manner. One should look at a scriptural text. One should see what scriptural text came before, what scriptural text come later. And one should come up with a consistent understanding of scripture using logic. This type of contemplation, this type of deliberation is accepted as acceptable logic. This is accepted as manana. This is tarka, but this tarka is manana, which is in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad.
Shushka tarkam cha varjayet.
However, dry logic should be rejected. Dry logic is logic which does not, which is not used in the service of scripture, which is independent of scripture. So, like the academic scholars.
I give in two words, manana and tarka.
No, here tarka itself is used, but in the evidence text, it says tarka and shushka tarka. Dry logic.
That's
equated with manana. That authentic deliberation is accepted as manana. This is important because it is not simply study of scripture. Indological scholars, they study Sanskrit. Many of them know Sanskrit very well. They know Bengali, Hindi, they know quite a few languages. They have studied so many different philosophical systems. They can quote upside down. They can quote anything actually you want. And if once I remember Bhanu Maharaj was saying, there are some academic scholars who can present Gaudiya Vaishnavism better than many of our devotees. But of course they don't believe in any of these things. And they drink, smoke, eat meat, and you know, they're just living their own lives. So it is not just a study. It is study with a certain attitude. It is study with a certain perspective. So logic is used. We are all Vedantists. We are within the Vedanta school, which where logic is like the oxygen. It is everywhere. Intelligence is used abundantly. But it is used only in the service of scripture. Just as in Vedic culture, a woman may be beautiful, but if her beauty is offered only to her husband, then she is accepted as a good woman. Otherwise, prostitutes are also beautiful. So, mere scholarship is not of any use. Scholarship which is in line with acceptance of scriptural authority coming through the disciplic line. That is authentic. Then there are several complicated topics he takes up, but I'll just deal with one topic. He says that there is a certain way how one understands the scripture.
Tatcha vakyam mahavakya anugatam mahavakyam cha vakya samudayaha.
The Vedas, the statements of the Vedas put together, they constitute great statements. All of them are great statements. Not that, like Shankaracharya teaches, only certain statements are mahavakya and the others are all laghu vakyas. We don't accept that. We accept the Veda itself completely. It's all mahavakya.
Asya arthastu upakrama upasamharadibhir eva avadharyate.
But the meaning of the Veda has to be understood in a certain manner, which has also been spelled out in scripture. Scripture itself teaches us how to study scripture. And he says, Tathahi Madhvabhashya Dhritta Brihat Samhita Vakyam. He quotes a statement from a scripture called Brihat Samhita, from Madhvacharya's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Upakrama Upasamharao Abhyasaha Apurvata Phalam Arthavada Upapatticha Lingam Tatparya Nirnaye. In order to determine the tatparya or the intention of a Vedic text, you have to examine certain features of that text. One has to examine the beginning statements. One has to examine the final statements. One has to examine which statements or concepts are repeated. You have to examine which concepts are new. New means that which you cannot gather through sense perception or logic. That is called apurvata, new. It is new information. If you don't take shelter of Veda, you cannot understand it. So it is new. Apurvata phalam. One should examine what is the fruit that has been promised in that portion of the Vedic scripture. One should examine what are the various glorifications that is offered in order to encourage to engage in the activities prescribed in scriptures. Arthavada, upapatti, and what is the logical conclusion which has been spelt out in the text itself. Like sometimes scripture itself says that, like for instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we see at the end of the 15th chapter, from text 16 onwards, Krishna is outlining the teachings of the Vedas. He specifies that there are the fallible, then there are the infallible, and then he is beyond, and then he says there is the Supreme Being who is beyond the fallible and the infallible. Then he says that because I am celebrated in the Shacharyas, I have come to the conclusion that the Vedas do not say that we are God. Using such analysis, this analysis is used everywhere. Now the important thing to note is, this is a system which is provided by scripture. The whole idea is, you don't need anything outside of scripture to understand scripture. Scripture itself provides a system by which we understand scripture. We don't need anything from the Indologists. We don't need anything from these people. We don't need. We have everything. We have a complete system. If out of laziness we don't take shelter of it, that's our fault. But we have been provided a full-fledged system, which is intellectual, which is any intelligent person will understand. This is a system. Even if you don't accept Vedic authority, you'll accept that these people are very intelligent people. So, then Jiva Goswami, in the main text, he makes one point. He says that tatra cha veda shabdasya samprati duspuratva dur adigamha arthatva cha tad artha nirnayakana muninam api paraspara virodhat veda rupaha vedartha nirnayakascha itihasa puranatmaka shabda eva vicharaniya. He says, but right now, the four Vedas, they're very difficult to obtain. The Shruti, as far as I've been informed by one scholar, that we only have 4% of the Shruti intact now, because they are transmitted through oral traditions and the traditions have disappeared. You know, when Brahmanas start taking up jobs and all, they stop the work of transmitting the Veda sound form. So it is lost in Kali Yuga now, 5000 years into Kali Yuga, it is gone. And at least 500 years back, Jiva Goswami noted, they're practically out. Only 4% is remaining. So he says, because the Veda Shabda is currently not fully available, and very little is available, and also they are very difficult to understand. Therefore, and he gives another reason, the great sages who try to explain the Vedic teachings, they appear to have their own controversies between themselves. That Yagyavalkya says this, Audulomi says that, this one says this, this one says that. These are all great Vedic rishis. But their perspectives appear so different. Like one says that the absolute truth is entirely different from material creation. Another says, no, it is actually the absolute, the material creation is a manifestation of the absolute truth. So they appear to be at opposition with each other. Therefore, we should take shelter of the Itihasa and Purana, which clarifies the meaning of the Shruti, which is also of the nature of Vedic literature.
This is what we should focus on. So in that way, Jiva Goswami develops it further. And in Tattva Sandarbha, he goes step by step until he comes to the point that we have to surrender to Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the final literature which sheds light on the meaning of the entire body of Vedic literature. So that's a system how it should be understood and how the Veda should be understood, and that is presented in the tradition itself. Okay, I'll stop with this. Any questions? Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata, which is Smriti. What is the meaning of as such Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita. It is known as Gita Upanishad because it explains the purpose of the Upanishads, and actually it is more important than the Shruti. Technically it is a Smriti. Something could be technically Smriti, but it could be more important than. Krishna may go on changing it. Next time when he speaks, he may speak different shlokas. Vedartha, artha. It explains the purport of Shruti. Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam is the final literature, and therefore for all practical purposes, when you have to determine, in fact that is exactly the procedure we use. For any subject matter, we consult the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't even start looking at what the Shruti speaks on that subject matter, or even what the other Smritis they speak. We look at what Srimad Bhagavatam says. It is superior, of course. That is a statement which it is superior in this sense. It is superior in the sense that it is the final literature which clarifies. Yes. If one studies the Bhagavad Gita, but if he has an offensive attitude, then the Gita will not manifest its meaning to the reader. Depends on their attitude. Attitude. Each and every living entity has to face his own activities. It is not a mechanical process. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not different from Krishna. When I am looking at Bhagavatam, actually Bhagavatam is looking at me. Keep in mind. It's just like deity. No, it's just like deity. When we go before the deity is looking at us. Okay, you have come. Are you surrendering today? Or do you want to make spiritual advancement as slow as possible? No. Neutral attitude, he gets nothing. India is filled with people who memorize Bhagavad Gita and everyone. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Yes, Prabhu.
The identity with the deity of a particular leader, other than the spoke. And then in another point, he said that sometimes it's said that Vedas also come in facilitated forms in my class. I hear like Vedas in a facilitated form, you know,
waking up the Lord.
There are some sages who are the Abhimani Devatas for certain scriptures. They are presiding deities for certain scriptures. So these are the personalities who in the morning of the Supreme Lord's morning, when they go to wake him up, they recite. And a sample of their prayers is presented in the 10th canto, in Krishna book also you'll see, prayers by personified Vedas. So they are called personified Vedas. Anything else? Oh, Prabhu, yes.
You were mentioning how the knowledge is related to the parampara. And I think the first stage in Upanishadam that the guru should not become guru unless he is a mathematical. And the person who is taking initiation, he should not take initiative intelligence to understand who is the mathematical for taking initiation. So, how do I understand who is a mathematical?
There are symptoms, there are external symptoms that have been presented. In Bhagavad Gita you find symptoms of a liberated soul. Two times it is presented, chapter 2, chapter 14. Symptoms of Vaishnavas are presented in chapter 20. In Bhagavatam so many places it is presented. No, there are external symptoms, externally identifiable symptoms. Such as he is fixed in the service of the Supreme Lord, he is not affected by his, for instance, simple thing, he is not affected by glorification that comes or dishonor that comes in his personal account and so on. It's not. Even Rupa Goswami gives symptoms of Uttamadhikari and Nectar of Instruction itself. That is also there.
But that means that one is not pure, then his body problems indicate a problem?
No. We don't discriminate between Vaishnavas on the basis of their gross body or subtle body. But we do discriminate between Vaishnavas on the basis of their service to Krishna and the liberated acharyas and so on. There is authentic discrimination, there is unauthentic discrimination. Unauthentic discrimination is based on the body and so on.
Like if I can't sing, what's the point in telling me I can't sing? So if there is a problem in my body, if you tell me, okay, if there is no problem with you, you can like, as soon as I can sing, and suppose Prabhuji can't sing, and I tell him, okay, you're also as good to sing as me. Isn't it artificial?
It's artificial.
So there's a difference in our body, and I mean, artificially saying our body is the same, it's artificial, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that when there is a problem in the body, then the problem is genuine. It's not like in a pure devotee body, there are no problems.
Why?
In
a pure devotee's body, there are no problems. He may not have a disease. He won't catch cold.
Yeah, but what's the nature? Is it the nature of the cold and is it the same as the
cancer? That's a body. That's what I'm saying. Body. His soul is not diseased.
Okay.
Body.
But the body can be diseased. Like, is he suffering from the disease? Is he suffering from karma?
No, that may be different. It may not be due to karma or whatever. But what is the connection between his body and... Anyway, this is not a discussion of Veda Purushayatva. So, but we'll personally discuss.
Because you were talking about symptoms of a liberated soul, you know. And I was talking about external symptoms, like body symptoms of an external liberated soul.
No. The behavior of a liberated soul. The behavior and activities. Okay. Yes, sir. Someone should tell me when to stop before Maharaj comes. We'll discuss later.